ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम टू अवर फर्स्ट सेशन ऑफ भागवत प्रवाह ऑन द सेकेंड कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। इन द लास्ट 5 days वी हैव डिस्कस्ड ए ब्रीफ समरी और आउटलाइन ऑफ द फर्स्ट कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम एंड इन द नेक्स्ट 3 days वी विल गिव ए समरी ऑफ द सेकेंड कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। द सेकेंड कैंटो ऑफ भागवतम हैज ओनली 10 chapters एंड दिस इज रिलेटिवली द स्मॉलेस्ट कैंटो of Srimad Bhagavatam that has only 10 chapters. However, the content of the second canto is predominantly technical and the prominent subject matters in this second canto are the universal creation and the universal form, the Virat Rupa and Ashtanga Yoga. And also, although this second canto presents various spiritual paths on the Vedic landscape, still, the second canto expertly binds all of them together and brings them to the conclusion of Krishna Bhakti. Second canto conclusively establishes that pure devotional service unto the Supreme Lord Krishna is the topmost spiritual path. And Sukadeva Goswami very repeatedly establishes this fact throughout the second canto. And in this canto, there are 10 chapters. And in the first 3 chapters, Sukadeva Goswami describes the practice of an Ashtanga Yogi and how an Ashtanga Yogi attains liberation and how a person who is pursuing the path of yoga has different objects of meditation. A neophyte yogi has the object of meditation of Virat Rupa or the universal form, and an advanced yogi who has developed detachment, such a yogi will meditate on the super soul or Paramatma, and then eventually they attain liberation. But superior to this path of Ashtanga Yoga is the path of Bhakti Yoga. And Sukadeva Goswami conclusively establishes that Bhakti Yoga is the supreme spiritual path in these first 3 chapters. It is the topmost yoga, Bhakti Yoga, the path of pure devotional service unto Krishna. And in the 4th chapter of this canto, Sukadeva Goswami offers beautiful prayers before he enters deep into the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 5th chapter, 6th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes the activities of Purushavataras, that is basically the process of creation of this material universe. Then in the 7th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes various Leelavataras, or the pastime incarnations of the Supreme Lord. And in the 8th chapter, Parikshit Maharaj asks so many questions to Sukadeva Goswami, and in the 9th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami answers some of those questions by quoting a beautiful conversation that happened between the Supreme Lord and Brahma. And as a part of that, we see the Chatushloki Srimad Bhagavatam. Chatushloki Bhagavatam. So entire Bhagavatam was spoken by the Supreme Lord to Brahmaji in the beginning of creation in just 4 verses. And Brahmaji expanded it and spoke to Narada Muni. Narada Muni spoke to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva spoke to Sukadeva Goswami. Like that, that's 4 seed shlokas are expanded into a voluminous literature called Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the last chapter, 10th chapter of this second canto, Sukadeva Goswami defines the 10 subject matters, 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarga, Visarga, Sthanam, Poshanam, Uti, Manvantara, Ishanukatha, Nirodha, Mukti, Ashraya. So this is a very brief outline, quick outline of entire second canto in just 2-3 minutes. And today in the first session, we will discuss the first 3 chapters of this canto. In the first chapter of the second canto, the title of this chapter is The First Step in God Realization. So in this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami establishes the superiority of Bhakti Yoga, and he also describes that in life, it's not about the lifespan or quality that matters, it's the quantity that matters. And he also describes Ashtanga Yoga to attain liberation. And Parikshit Maharaj, at the end of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he asked a question to Sukadev Goswami. He said, "My dear Sukadev Goswami, what is the ultimate duty of every person at all times in his life? And especially, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? How to live and how to leave? And specifically, what a person is supposed to hear, chant and remember throughout his life? And what a person is supposed to chant, hear and remember at the time of his death?" So these are the two prominent questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj at the end of the first canto. And as we discussed yesterday, Sukadeva Goswami answers these two questions in the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam. In one sense, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is an answer to these two key questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj. How to live in this world at all times during the life, and how to leave this world at the time of death. So these are the two questions. So Sukadeva Goswami first appreciates this beautiful question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. He says, "My dear Parikshit, you have asked a wonderful question." In the first shloka of this chapter, first chapter, Sukadeva Goswami says, "Variyaneshate prashnah krito lokahitam nripa atmavitsam atmavitsam matah pumsam shrotavyadisu yah paraham." Variyaneshate prashnah. Oh Parikshit Maharaj, the question that you have asked is a wonderful question. Variyaneshate prashnah krito lokahitam nripa. And this question is the topmost subject matter for everyone to hear. The answer to this question is the topmost subject matter for hearing for everyone. So, krito lokahitam nripa, this will cause the greatest welfare to people in general, because everybody is living in this world and one day everybody has to die. One has to leave this world. And Parikshit Maharaj just asked how to live in this world and how to depart from this world. And these questions are relevant for everyone. It's not that Bhagavatam message is relevant only to a particular class of people or devotees or Vaishnavas. So Bhagavatam messages are relevant for everyone, entire humanity. So atmavit sammataha pumsam, those who are having the knowledge of self-realization, atmavit sammataha. So those who are having the knowledge of self-realization will understand the glory of this question and will appreciate the answer to this question. This topic. Shrotavyadishu yah paraha. Of all the subjects that are available for hearing, the topmost subject is this topic. Then, in the second shloka, Sukadeva Goswami answers this question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. What a person is not supposed to do. First, Sukadeva Goswami describes what a person is not supposed to do in his life or at the time of death. And later Sukadeva Goswami describes what a person is supposed to do and in his life and at the time of death. So in the second shloka, Sukadeva Goswami says, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nrinam Santi Sahasrasaha Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedhinam. Grihamedhis means attached materialistic householders. Not Krishna conscious, devotionally inclined, spiritually inclined grihasthas. This is about materialistic, materially attached householders who do not have any spiritual inclinations, who do not keep God in the center of their lives. So for such people, Shrotavyadini Rajendra. So Nrinam Santi Sahasrasaha, they have hundreds and thousands of topics to hear. But Krishna conscious people have spiritual topics to hear, but materialistic people have hundreds and thousands of materialistic topics to hear. Apashyatam atma tattvam, they cannot understand the atma tattva. They cannot understand the real truth of atma, the soul, the spirit soul. In the third shloka, Sukadeva Goswami continues to describe the fallacy of a materialistic person's material life. He says, Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavaye nachavavayaha divacharthehaya rajan kutumba bharane nava. He says, Nidraya hriyate naktam. So a materialistic person spends his whole night in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and he spends the whole day in earning money. So this is the common thing. Everyone has to sleep. And sex indulgence is common for most people.
And also, Nidraya Hriyate Naktam, one has to sleep and one has to work for one's livelihood. But these are not the only things that a human being is meant to do. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these are not the only things a person is supposed to do. A human being is supposed to inquire about spiritual life, about the real tattva of Atma. Apashyatam hatva tattvam. See, divacharthe haya rajan kutumba bharanenava. So, they are just absorbed in just maintaining their families and households, which is an important responsibility for everyone, but that is not the only responsibility. So, that is a responsibility pertaining to this material body. But what about one's responsibility towards the soul? So, we are souls, we are not these bodies. We are souls who are living within these bodies. So, we may have to work for bodily maintenance as a matter of responsibility and duty. But we should. It is also our supreme duty to think about one's soul. In the fourth shloka, Sukadeva Goswami says, Dehapatya kalatradishu atmasainyeshu asat asat swapi Tesham pramatto nidhanam pashyannapi napashyati. He says, Deha, apatya, kalatradishu, means body, one's life partner, and also children, and household paraphernalia. So these are the only subject matters in the lives of materialistic people. And atmasainyeshu asatsvapi, although they are asat, although they are so temporary in nature, but still a materialistic person tends to think that they are permanent. Atmasainyeshu, these are my soldiers. But actually they are fallible soldiers. For example, if a person is say 20 years old or 30 years old and he comes in contact with the family just 20-30 years back. And before these 20-30 years, what was the relationship between this person and his family members or friends? And after this person's death, after say 40 years, when he dies at 70, for example, after he dies, what would be that person's relationship with the family members and friends? Yes, one has to maintain cordial relationships with other people during one's lifetime, but one should also understand that it is a temporary life and there is a permanent life beyond this one lifetime. So, a soul is permanent and eternal, while the body is perishable. And if the body is perishable, all the bodily possessions and bodily relationships are also perishable. They are so temporary in nature. So, Sukadeva Goswami basically brings all our attention to the fact that we need to focus on our spiritual life, parallel to the trivial conventional responsibility of maintaining one's material life and material body. Sukadeva Goswami, in the fifth shloka, he says, Tasmad, therefore, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi Shrotavyaha Kirtitavyascha Smartavyaschechata Bhayam Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma. O Parikshit Maharaj, O descendant of Bharata dynasty, Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi, please always take shelter of that Bhagavan Krishna, Ishvara, Supreme Controller Krishna, Hari. Hari means Krishna. So please take shelter of that Lord. Hari means one who steals away all our distresses. So please take shelter of the Lord. How to take shelter? He says very clearly, Shrotavyaha Kirtitavyascha. Hear about Krishna. Kirtitavyascha means glorify Krishna, either by chanting his holy names or describing his nama, rupa, guna, leela, pastimes. So, Shrotavyaha Kirtitavyascha, do Sravanam and do Kirtanam. And Smartavyascha, you should also remember, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Ichchata, Abhayam. If at all you desire fearlessness in this world, you just please engage yourself in these activities of Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So that is what one is supposed to do at all times in one's life. And that is what one is supposed to do at the time of death also. By doing so, one will transcend this material world which is filled with miseries and one will go back to Godhead. One will go back to the spiritual world which is filled with spiritual bliss. So, Sukadeva Goswami continues his series of shlokas and he says that even karmis, jnanis, yogis can also achieve liberation etavan sankhya yogabhyam, like that he speaks so many shlokas, then the proof is that many self-realized souls have taken shelter of Harikatha and perfected their lives. And you want an example? I am a personal example. So Sukadeva Goswami says how he himself was once attached to the impersonal Brahman conception of the Lord, but by hearing the wonderful qualities of Krishna, pastimes of Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami was helplessly attracted to the beautiful aspects of Krishna and became a pure devotee of Krishna. He says, Parinishthito api nirgunya uttama shloka leelaya. So uttama shloka leelaya. Although I am absorbed in impersonal conception of the Lord, parinishthito api nirgunya, the qualityless Brahman conception of the Lord, still uttama shloka leelaya. After hearing the leelas of the Supreme Lord Krishna, my heart has been transformed and I have become a pure devotee of Krishna. So Sukadeva Goswami says there is a transformation in my heart because of hearing Krishna's leelas. So we should hear. So Falashruti is that one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam and develop unflinching faith and affection and devotion towards the Supreme Lord. Sukadeva Goswami concludes, Etan nirvidyamananam. He says, Ichchatamakuto bhayam yoginam nirpanirnitam harer namanukirtanam. Yoginam nirpanirnitam. What has been concluded by all great yogis is harer namanukirtanam. One has to chant the holy names of Lord Hari throughout one's life. Etan nirvidyamananam. So this has been concluded. This conclusion has been settled. In fact, Sukadeva Goswami, in just 11 verses, he answered the two questions of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj asked how to live and how to leave. What one should hear, chant and remember throughout one's life. What one should hear, chant and remember at the time of death. And what one is not supposed to do. He asked. And answer is given. One should just hear, chant and remember the Supreme Lord Krishna throughout one's life and at the time of death also. One should not be absorbing oneself in materialistic activities. So Sukadeva Goswami answered the questions. In one sense, Bhagavatam can end here. But not everybody is simple enough or plain enough to accept this simple conclusion that one just has to perform pure devotional service unto Krishna, which is characterized by Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam. So there are so many other sages and great yogis who are sitting in the audience. So Sukadeva Goswami wanted to speak something that they can relate with also. So Sukadeva Goswami concludes. He says, bhakti has to be performed and that is the ultimate activity of every human being. And that bhakti can be performed in 1 minute also. There is one great king named Khatvanga. Khatvanga fought on behalf of demigods. And when the devatas asked Khatvanga, what do you want? You have served us so much. Khatvanga asked, can you please tell me how much time is left before my death? Then the devatas told him that you just have one muhurta. One moment, one muhurta. Muhurta is 48 minutes. You have only 48 minutes left in your life. So you are, according to your tenure within this body, you will live only for one muhurta. Then Khatvanga said, okay, let me utilize this one muhurta in absorbing my mind completely in the lotus feet of Krishna. So Khatvanga absorbed his mind completely for one muhurta in the Lord and he went back to Godhead. So now Sukadeva Goswami quoted this example and told Parikshit Maharaj, Khatvanga had only one muhurta. Oh Parikshit Maharaj, you have 7 full days. It's much, much more than a muhurta. You have 7 full days, you can just totally absorb yourself in hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and perfect your life and go back to Godhead. So this is the conclusion given by Sukadeva Goswami. You can prepare for your next life, O Parikshit Maharaj. Now, Sukadeva Goswami, after giving this answer to Parikshit Maharaj, he also wanted to compare and contrast this bhakti yoga with other paths like Ashtanga yoga, just to satisfy some other people sitting in the audience. So they may think that you are saying bhakti yoga, O Sukadeva Goswami, what about Ashtanga yoga? Sukadeva Goswami describes Ashtanga Yoga also what it is, and finally says that Bhakti Yoga is better than this Ashtanga Yoga also. Then he continues. So Ashtanga Yoga is performed by certain spiritual seekers to attain liberation. If you see the slide, there is a big chart there. Ashtanga Yoga involves 8 kinds of practices. Yama, Niyama means rules and regulations, or prescriptions and prohibitions, or do's and don'ts. These are called Yama Niyamas. So different set of rules that one has to follow and one should not follow. For example, somebody has to get up so early in the morning. That is a prescription. One should not get up so late in the morning. That is a prohibition. So it's basically the way you put it. So the do's can also be said as don'ts, and the don'ts can also be said as do's. But Yama, Niyama are basically some restrictions, some prohibitions and some prescriptions. So these are basic set of rules that spiritual seekers are meant to follow. Not only Ashtanga Yogis, anybody who is trying to practice spiritual life, these rules are relevant. Mind control, sense control, cleanliness, proper food habits and certain other basic things. So the Yama Niyamas. Then third limb of Ashtanga Yoga is Asana. Asana means sitting postures, sitting exercises, bodily exercises. Then pranayama. Pranayama is breathing exercises, controlling the breath. Puraka, rechaka, kumbhaka, inhaling, exhaling and holding the breath. This is pranayama. That is the fourth limb. Fifth limb is called pratyahara. Pratyahara means controlling the mind. When you are sitting and trying to do yoga, the mind will go here and there. The mind will constantly think of some sense objects. So some sense gratification. So trying to withdraw one's mind and making the mind focus on the yoga is called pratyahara. And next comes the stage of dharana, which is meditation on the Lord. And next comes the stage of dhyana, which is intensified deep meditation on the Lord. So dharana involves meditating on the form of the Lord, overall form of the Lord. Dhyana indicates meditating on every single limb of the Lord, which is very systematic meditation, which is more intensified and deeper meditation. Dharana, dhyana, both are meditation only, but dharana is like a initial stage of meditation. Dhyana is intensified stage of meditation. So after dhyana, after meditating on the Lord very deeply, one will absorb oneself into samadhi. Samadhi or deep trance, and then one can attain liberation. So in short, this is the process of Ashtanga Yoga. So the first 5 stages, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, are straightforward. We have already discussed. This Dharana stage has multiple details. So Sukadeva Goswami describes them very very deeply. We will come back to this chat after some time. So now Dharana means meditation. For doing this meditation, you should have a proper object of meditation. That is called Dharana Ashraya. Dharana is meditation. Dharana Ashraya means object of meditation. So in the initial stages of Dharana, initial stages of one's meditation, one should meditate on the universal form of the Lord, or the form of Lord, which is basically like conceived of the material elements, or elements, various elements from this material universe. Means the Lord is purely spiritual. He actually does not have a material form. But for those yogis, but for those people who cannot perceive anything beyond matter, or who cannot place their faith or trust on something which is beyond their sense perception, for such people, the Lord's form is presented to be this universe. Various elements in this universe are compared to various bodily limbs of the Lord. And that comparison, which is actually an imagination, that imaginary comparison between the elements of the universe and the form of the Supreme Lord is called universal form, or Vishwarupa, or Virat Rupa. Virat Rupa is the word which is used. Means, for example, some people may not believe in the existence of God because they cannot see God with their senses. They are material senses, and the Supreme Lord is completely spiritual in nature. How can someone perceive the supremely spiritual Lord with one's material senses? He is adhokshaja. He is beyond the comprehension of material senses. So thus one cannot perceive the Lord. So for such people, the scriptures give descriptions of Virat Rupa or universal form and say that, you see all these mountains, they are the bones of the Supreme Lord. Did you see sun and moon? They are the eyes of the Supreme Lord. Do you see these trees? They are hairs of the Supreme Lord. Like that, so many comparisons are given between the various elements in this universe and the bodily limbs of the Supreme Lord. So that comparison, which is an imaginary comparison, is called universal form. And how can we imagine? So now, this is considered, the universal form is considered the material form of the Lord. The Lord's forms are not material. Ramadi murti sukala niyamena tishthan nana avatara makarod bhavaneshu kintu. Like that, the Supreme Lord's forms are not material, they are spiritual in nature. But just for practical purposes, just to convince some materialistic people about the existence of God, we may present a description of a material form of the Lord, which is the universal form. And that's a bona fide imagination, which is mentioned in the scriptures. Just to improve the consciousness of a materialistic person who cannot see or believe anything which is beyond the perception of his own senses. So it's a bona fide imagination. So universal form descriptions come at various places in Srimad Bhagavatam and multiple places within second canto only. So a neophyte yogi, Ashtanga yogi, who passed through the first five stages of Ashtanga yoga, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara. So he has done these five preliminary stages. Now he went into Dharana. Dharana stage is meditation on the Lord. Now how can he meditate on the Lord? Because he's a neophyte person, his heart is filled with a lot of material desires and a lot of attachments. So thus, he cannot meditate on the supremely spiritual form of the Lord. He has to be presented some material form, that is Virat Rupa. So a neophyte yogi or an attached yogi or a yogi with so many material desires will meditate on the material form of the Lord, which is the Virat Rupa or the universal form of the Lord. And that is the dharanashriya, that is the object of meditation of a neophyte yogi. And once that neophyte yogi advances little bit in the process of this yoga, and when he gives up his material desires and he cultivates detachment from matter and he's little more advanced, then his object of meditation would be the super soul or the paramatma. So Paramatma is the object of meditation of an advanced yogi or a detached yogi, and Virat Rupa or universal form is the object of meditation of a attached yogi or a neophyte yogi who has material desires. So thus Dharana stage is very longer stage, because your object of meditation will change from material to spiritual. Paramatma is the form of the Lord who stays within the heart of every single living being. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvaraha sarva bhutanam hridye sherjuna tishthati. The Supreme Lord, Ishvara, Krishna, will stay in the hridaya, in the hearts of every single souls. And sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattaha smritir jnanam apohanam cha. In the hearts of every single living being, the Supreme Lord stays as Paramatma. A yogi should close his eyes and meditate on the beautiful form of Paramatma. If he is advanced enough and detached enough, if he does not have material desires. But if he has material desires, he can meditate on the universal form of the Lord. So Sukadeva Goswami describes this universal form. Now, the universal form has multiple descriptions. Now, sometimes the four varanas are compared to different limbs of the Lord. That is one description of universal form. Sometimes the 14 planetary systems are compared to the different limbs of the Supreme Lord. That is another description of universal system, universal form. So like that, in this Ashtanga Yoga, Virat Rupa description comes like this. The 14 planetary systems are compared to be the limbs of the Supreme Lord, limbs of Virat Rupa, limbs of the universal form. So then the neophyte yogi meditates. So this is how Sukadeva Goswami concludes the first chapter And in the second chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes about detachment, cultivating detachment. So these karmakandic processes are there, the Vedic rituals are there, so many rituals, materialistic rituals, which are meant to give a lot of material benedictions to people. So these are not very much appreciated in the scriptures from a highest spiritual perspective. So temporary pleasures are like dreams, and one should work only to keep one's body and soul together. So yes, one has to take the responsibility of self-preservation. One has to work to maintain his body and soul together. Without eating some food, without earning money and eating some food, one cannot maintain oneself or one's family members. So to that degree it is needed. But one should not be very extravagant or greedy in earning a lot of material wealth. So emphasizing on the importance of renunciation for a spiritual seeker, Sukadeva Goswami says, are there not earthly flats? Why do you need cots and beds? Don't we have your own arms? Why do you need a pillow while sleeping? And don't you have palms? Why do you need utensils? Because very renunciants who are wandering on the streets, actually, they may just take some water in their palms. They may take some food in their palms only. They don't need any plates or golden plates or dining tables. And don't you have skins of the trees? Why do you need clothing? So it's a very high stage of renunciation which is meant for sages. So Sukadeva Goswami is such a great renunciant that he does not even wear clothes also. He doesn't have a house also. So he is speaking the highest perspective. So, but for general householders, the regular principle is that one should earn the livelihood for one's self-preservation, but one should not be very greedy to accumulate a lot of material wealth and thus increase one's tenure in this material existence. Because when there is a lot of wealth, generally one has a tendency to enjoy sense gratification and entangle oneself in matter. Of course, there are so many exalted devotees, although they have a lot of material wealth. They have Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri. They have high birth, high education, lot of wealth and influence, name, fame, prestige in the society. But they are in proper consciousness. Bhagavatam is filled with so many examples of exalted devotees like Ambarish Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. All these are Maharajas, kings, who had access to great wealth, but still they are in proper Krishna consciousness and practicing Bhakti Yoga. But in this context, Sukadeva Goswami is emphasizing on the importance and the glory of renunciation, where one lives with bare minimum necessities in life and utilizes all one's energy and time for cultivating spiritual realization. So, are there not torn cloths on the road? Why do you need very expensive garments? So, like that he says. Are there not mountain caves? Why do you need organized houses? Like that he says. So, if one worships the Super Soul, one's ignorance is destroyed. Only the gross materialistic people will reject bhakti and take to karmakanda. Karmakanda is set in Vedic rituals, which are actually mentioned in the Vedic scriptures for a higher grade of material enjoyment. Some people may perform certain rituals or pujas so that they can be elevated to the heavenly planets and they can enjoy better grade of enjoyment and luxuries there. So, that's not worth it. It's not worth that one spends or wastes one's human form of life only to derive a better grade of enjoyment in one's life. One should actually, whether it is heaven or earthly planet, ultimately one is within the material universe only. One has to transcend this material universe and go to the spiritual realm. That is the ultimate and proper utility of material life. So, thus Sukadeva Goswami, he did not appreciate this karmakandic ritual so much. He emphasized on detachment. Then he comes to the description of super soul. In the previous chapter, in the first chapter, Sukadeva Goswami described universal form. Universal form was the object of meditation or the dharanashraya of an attached yogi or a neophyte yogi or a yogi with who still have material desires. Now, he also said that super soul or paramatma is the object of meditation of an advanced yogi who does not have material desires and who has cultivated detachment. Now he describes this Paramatma. A yogi meditates with his closed eyes, he meditates on the Paramatma in his heart. And what is the beauty of Paramatma? He says Paramatma is 8 inches he has very beautiful bodily features, mouth, and he expresses happiness. His eyes are like lotus petals. His garments are like yellowish saffron of the lotus pollen. And like that, there are so many other descriptions. He wears a Kaustubha Mani and he has 4 hands. Like that, the description of Paramatma is given. And an advanced yogi meditates on this form of Paramatma. And further description of super soul is also given. That one should meditate on this form until the mind goes into trance, goes into concentration. One goes to samadhi. So this dharana involves meditating on the form of the Lord. But dhyana is intensified and absorbed meditation. So in dhyana stage, one meditates on each and every limb of the Lord. In dharana stage, one meditates on the overall form of the Lord. And in dhyana stage, one meditates on every individual limb of the Lord and intensifies his meditation and even develops devotion also. In the 3rd canto, 28th chapter, Lord Kapila further describes this process of Ashtanga Yoga. When we come there, we will discuss more. But here, we discussed Ashtanga Yoga to a certain degree till this point, and more description is about to come. Now, we will come back to this chart. I'll complete this chart now. The first 5 stages of Ashtanga Yoga are Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara. Yama, Niyama are the do's and don'ts, are prescriptions and prohibitions, are rules and regulations. Then 3rd stage is Asana, which is like sitting exercises. Then Pranayama, breathing exercises. Then Pratyahara is controlling or withdrawing the mind from wherever it wanders, trying to bring the mind back and focusing on the process of yoga. Then the 6th stage is dharana. And as I mentioned so far, dharana means meditation on the Lord, and we need a dharanashraya or object of meditation. For a neophyte yogi who has material desires and attachments, the dharanashraya or the object of meditation prescribed for him is the Virat Rupa or the universal form. And if he still has material desires by meditating on the universal form, then he should continue to meditate on the Virat Rupa. But at the dharana stage, if somebody does not have material desires, then one can meditate on Paramatma directly. Now, that is one line. After Paramatma meditation, he goes to dhyana stage and goes to samadhi and attains liberation. But even after meditating on Virat Rupa, if somebody develops detachment, then he can come to Paramatma meditation and then go to dhyana stage and samadhi stage and attain liberation. But after meditating on the Virat Rupa, still if one maintains material desires, then one cannot go to dhyana stage and then samadhi stage and attain liberation. One cannot go in that line. One should go on another path of krama mukti or gradual liberation. So going to stage of liberation through Paramatma meditation is considered quick liberation or very fast-paced liberation, because you are purified enough. You are purified enough to meditate on the beautiful Paramatma form of the Lord and you can attain liberation. But if one still has a lot of material desires, he is not purified enough, even after meditating on Virat Rupa, then he should go through Krama Mukti or gradual liberation. That means one goes to Vaishvanara Loka, then Shishumara Loka, then Mahara Loka, Brahma Loka, then he pierces through the coverings of false ego, then pierces through Mahatattva, and then pierces through Pradhana. These are all various coverings of the universe, and then goes to liberation. So this is gradual liberation and this is instant liberation. But ultimately an Ashtanga Yogi attains liberation, either gradually or quickly by meditating on Paramatma. So this is the description of this Ashtanga Yoga. However, this Ashtanga Yoga is not very practical for people. Most people cannot practice this Ashtanga Yoga So Sukadeva Goswami, as a matter of his duty, described this Ashtanga Yoga just so that we can appreciate the simplicity and supremacy of Bhakti Yoga. It seems Ashtanga Yoga seems very complicated. Krama Mukti, then Viratrup meditation, and the description of Viratrup itself is very elaborate. So Sukadeva Goswami, in the 33rd shloka, he concludes that it is the verdict of Brahma. Brahmaji has scrutinizingly studied the Vedas 3 times and he has conclusively established that the best and topmost spiritual path is Bhakti Yoga. He says, Nahyatonyah Shiva Pantha Vishatah Samsrita Viha Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Yato Bhavet. Nahyato Anyah Shiva Pantha. There is no other path which is superior to Bhakti Yoga. It is the most auspicious path. Vishatah Samsrita Viha. And Bhakti has to be done unto whom? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Yato Bhavet. Bhakti Yoga has to be performed unto Vasudeva. We already discussed in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where we said that Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshaji Ahaituki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. The topmost spiritual path that is supposed to be followed by every single human being is Bhakti unto Krishna, which has to be done without any motivations and without any interruptions, according to the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vasudeve Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojitahaya, Janayatyasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chedahaitukam. If one performs Bhakti unto Vasudeva, then Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and detachment will automatically manifest in such a person. So one need not cultivate detachment through other processes. So then in the later verses, 36th and 37th verses, Sukadeva Goswami describes the glory of Bhakti Yoga. He concludes the topic saying that although I discussed Ashtanga Yoga as a matter of duty, it's not my prescription. I just spoke it because there are some people who may be thinking that Ashtanga Yoga is a way to attain spiritual perfection. But I would say Bhakti Yoga is the greatest way to attain spiritual perfection. This is Sukadeva Goswami's conclusion. He says, Tasmat sarvatmana rajan harihi sarvatra sarvada shrotavyah kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan rinam. Tasmat means therefore. This tasmat word is used to conclude a discussion. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan, sarvatmana at all times, by all means, O Raja, O Parikshit Maharaja. So you should just perform devotional service unto Lord Hari. Hari hi sarvatra sarvada, at any time, at any place, you are just supposed to perform bhakti unto Hari. How is that bhakti accomplished? Srotavyah kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan rinam. This is what Sukadeva Goswami said in the beginning of first chapter. Now he is saying in the conclusion of second chapter also. Srotavyah kirtitavyascha smartavya. Hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names and pastimes, and also remembering Krishna. So this is the way of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, practice of devotional service. And if this bhakti is performed, what are the benefits? There are 2 benefits of bhakti yoga. Sukadeva Goswami describes in the 37th shloka. He says, Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam kathamrutam shravana puteshu sambhrutam punanti te vishaya vidushitashayam vrajanti tacharana sarvaruhantikam. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam. Pibanti means drinking. One should drink the nectarian narrations of the Supreme Lord Krishna through one's ear holes. Kathamrutam. Katha is amrita. So Krishna's narrations are like nectar. Kathamrutam shravana puteshu sambhrutam. One has to drink the nectarian narrations of Krishna through one's ear holes. Then what is the benefit? Kathamrutam shravana puteshu sambhrutam punantiti vishaya vidushita ashayam. One's aspirations or goals in one's life that are contaminated by material desires for material enjoyment are completely vanquished. They are purified. Punantite vishaya vidushita ashayam. Ashaya means aspirations. They are vishaya vidushita. They are contaminated by material desires. Our goals and aspirations in this life are contaminated by material desires. And they will be purified by hearing Krishna Katha. If you want to purify your hearts, we have to hear Krishna Katha. And not only purifying our hearts, one will go to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet also. Vrajanti tacharana sarorhantikam. One can attain the lotus feet of the Lord in the spiritual world. That is the highest benefit of practicing Bhakti Yoga. And how to practice Bhakti Yoga? Hear about Krishna, chant Krishna's names, and glorify Krishna's pastimes, and remember Krishna always at all times by all means. This is the essence of Bhakti Yoga. That's how supremacy of Bhakti Yoga is established in the first chapter also, in the second chapter also. And the third chapter also says the same. Sukadeva Goswami begins the third chapter. The title of the third chapter is Pure Devotional Service or Change in Heart. In this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami compares and contrasts the process of devotional service with worship of so many devatas or the demigods. And after hearing all these descriptions, Savanakrishi becomes very ecstatic, because Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, and this conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj is being narrated by Suta Goswami to the sages for Naimisharanyas. Thus, Bhagavatam is loops of conversations. So many conversations are happening between people, questions and answers, and these conversations are quoted by quoted in other conversations by other people, like that. Suta Goswami is narrating Bhagavatam to Savanakadi Rishis by quoting the conversation that happened between Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. So, Sukadeva Goswami begins in the third chapter. In the first 12 shlokas, Sukadeva Goswami speaks about, he gives a comparison between worshipping the devatas and pure bhakti. So, he says that less intelligent people, people who are not very advanced in their intelligence or who are not very mature, they have so many material desires. And to fulfill their material desires, they worship so many devatas. So material desires are not worth maintaining. And on top of it, one unintelligently worships devatas to fulfill those desires. Now, to have powerful sex indulgence, one may worship Indra. To have good progeny, one may worship Prajapati Daksha. For good fortune, one will worship Durga Devi. For power, one will worship Agni. For money, one may worship Vasus. Like that, different demigods are known to give specific benedictions. For popularity, one worships Sadhya. And for beauty, one worships Gandharvas. For a good wife, one worships Apsaras and Urvasi. Like that, so many. For good bank balance, one worships Varuna. For vast learning, one worships Shiva. Like the different material benedictions are there, which are temporary. And people worship the demigods to get these temporary boons. The demigods and their posts are temporary, and the boons that they give are also temporary. So Sukadeva Goswami's emphasis is that you desire for a permanent life, and you endeavor for a permanent life. Don't stick to something temporary, which is not eternal. Then in the 10th shloka, Sukadeva Goswami says, now if somebody has a lot of material desires, to fulfill those material desires, he is going to different devatas. And is that a disqualification for him to practice Krishna Bhakti? Now I have material desires, so can I practice Krishna Bhakti? So the question, Sukadeva Goswami answers this question. Because I have material desires, I am worshipping so many devatas to fulfill them. What if I practice Krishna? Then Sukadeva Goswami says, Akamaha sarva kamova moksha kama udaradhihi Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Akamaha sarva kamova. Akama means you have no desires, no material desires. Sarva kamova, you have all kinds of material desires. Moksha kama, you have a specific desire to attain liberation. Udaradhihi, if you are intelligent person, whether you have desires, whether you have no desires, or whether you have desire for liberation, you worship Krishna only. Moksha kama udaradhihi tivrena bhakti yogena. You perform bhakti yoga only. You don't have to perform any other yoga. So, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushaha param, parama purusha Krishna, the Supreme Lord, Ishwaraha, paramaha Krishnaha, Sachidananda vigraha. So whatever may be your situation, whether you have material desires, no material desires, or you desire liberation, whatever may be your background, you can always worship Krishna. People who are karmis, they have a lot of material desires. People who are devotees, they have no material desires. And people who are yogis or jnanis, they desire liberation. So whether your background or mentality may be karmi or yogi or jnani or bhakta, you can worship Krishna, and it is Krishna's responsibility to purify us of all shortcomings and unwanted qualities and make us favorable for receiving Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy. And Krishna will give us the ultimate benefit, ultimate spiritual benediction. So devotees, and how can one practice this bhakti effectively? Only in the association of devotees one can perform bhakti properly. Without the association of devotees, one may not have the necessary inspiration or guidance to practice bhakti. Even karmis and jnanis also can be purified of their tendencies to maintain material desires and worship the devatas to fulfill those desires in the association of bhakti, in the association of devotees. So the essence so far is Sukadeva Goswami established the superiority of bhakti yoga over the process of Virat Rupa meditation or super soul meditation or Ashtanga yoga in general, or and also karma kanda and also demigod worship. So bhakti yoga, in all ways bhakti yoga is the best spiritual path compared to worshipping devatas, compared to Ashtanga yoga or any other path. So then Sukadeva Goswami spoke all this to Parikshit Maharaj, and Shaunaka Rishi has been hearing all these descriptions from Sukadeva Goswami, from Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami is quoting from Sukadeva Goswami. Then Shaunaka Rishi is to inspire Suta Goswami to speak further. They say, "My dear Suta Goswami, what were the further questions? What are the further questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj?" Parikshit Maharaj asked so many questions. And what are the further questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj? May I know? And how did Sukadeva Goswami answer them? So Shaunaka Rishi is asking like this. So the Shaunakadi Rishis are convinced that the best way of utilizing our time is to describe the glories of Krishna. Ayur harati vaipumsam udyannastam chayannasau tasyarte yat kshanonita uttamashloka vartaya. Ayur harati vaipumsam means by the rising and setting of sun, our ayu or our lifespan will be reduced. That is true for the general people. But for those people, those devotees who spend their lives in discussing the glorious activities and pastimes and qualities of Krishna, rising and setting of the sun will not reduce their lifespan. What does it mean? Devotees will not become old, their hair will not become white, they will not get any diseases. Why rising and setting of sun will not reduce the lifespan of devotees? It is said in the sense that by rising and setting of the sun, one day is taken away from the life of a person. And every day when the sun is rising and setting, the person, an average person, is coming closer to death. But a devotee, by hearing Krishna Katha, every day he is coming one step closer to Krishna. As the days are passing, a devotee is coming day by day, he is coming closer to Krishna, coming closer to the spiritual world. But for general people, materialistic people, they are coming closer to death only to enter into the womb of another mother and take another birth. It could be human birth, it could be an animal birth, it could be birth of a fish or a bird or a tree or anything like that. It could be non-human species also. It may not be an earthly planet. It could be in the lower planets. It could be in the higher planets. So like that, a materialistic person who does not spend one's life by practicing bhakti yoga, such a person will have to undergo the repeated cycle of birth and death, while a devotee who spends one's life in hearing the glorious nama, rupa, guna and leela of Krishna, they will not have to take birth again. So by every passage of every day, they are coming closer to Krishna, coming closer to the spiritual world. So now, to emphasize the importance of hearing Krishna Katha and to condemn the materialistic way of life, Shaunaka Rishi speaks, स्वविद्वराहोष्ट्रखरैः संस्तुतः पुरुषः पशुः नयत्कर्णपथोपेतो जातु नामगदाग्रजः. दिस् इस् द 19th श्लोक आफ् द 3rd चाप्टर्. ओन्ली एन् एनिमलिस्टिक् पर्सन् हू इस् लैक् ए डाग् आर् ए हाग् आर् ए केमल् आर् एन् एस् सच् पीपल् दे आर् एक्स्पर्ट् इन् एन्जाय् एनिमलिस्टिक् प्लेजर्स्. They do not take any shelter in Krishna Katha. He compared them to asses and hogs and dogs and camels. Camel unnecessarily holds a lot of burden. And camel eats thorns. And by eating thorns, camel's mouth will bleed. And camel tastes its own blood and thinks that these thorns are so nectarian. But camel is actually drinking its own blood. That is the foolishness of camel. So, similarly, a materialistic person also spends his valuable human life and he thinks that I am doing great. I am enjoying so nicely, but actually he is exhausting his whole human valuable time and energy for materialistic purposes without utilizing them for spiritual life. So, in this way, asses are carrying a lot of burden, and hogs and dogs, they are also living a degraded life. So there are so many other explanations. And so Saunaka Rishi goes on saying that a person who does not hear Krishna Katha with his ears are like snake holes. And a person who does not utilize his tongue to glorify Krishna, his tongue is like the tongue of a frog. What does a frog do? Frog croaks. When the frog is croaking, then a snake will come and swallow the frog. So that is that's the comparison given to a person who does not hear Krishna Katha or speak Krishna Katha. And a person, although his upper body is decorated with a very huge turban, still it's only a heavy burden if one does not bow down to the Supreme Lord using that head. And a person's hands, although they are glittering with very expensive bangles and bracelets, still they are like dead man's hands if their hands are not utilized in serving the Supreme Lord Krishna. And one's eyes are as good as the eyes on a peacock feather if one's eyes are not utilized to take the darshan of the beautiful form of Krishna. There are eyes on the peacock feather also, but they do not have the ability to see anything. Similarly, eyes may look so beautiful, but if one is not using the eyes to see the beautiful form of Krishna in the temple, then the eyes are as good as peacock feathers' eyes. Then one's legs are like tree trunks. If these legs are not traveling to holy places of pilgrimage and taking darshan of the Supreme Lord, these legs are actually like tree trunks that do not move. Although they are moving, they are as good as not moving only. And a person is equivalent to a dead body if he does not receive the dust from the lotus feet of pure devotees. And if he does not smell the tulasi offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, then a person is like dead person only, dead body only. And one's heart is compared to a steel-framed heart if tears do not come in his eyes by chanting the holy names of the Lord. We should have love and affection for Krishna. So Krishna is our Supreme Father. And if we do not have love and affection for our Supreme Father Krishna, then our heart is like steel-framed heart. So in this way, Saunaka Rishi glorifies the process of hearing the descriptions of the Supreme Lord. And he becomes so excited and enthusiastic to hear the further conversations between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, and urges Suta Goswami to continue that narration. And so please speak Harikatha. We are convinced of this process of Harikatha. So in this way, Sukadeva Goswami enlightened Parikshit Maharaj, and Suta Goswami narrated about that enlightenment to Saunakadi Rishis. So we completed the first three chapters of second canto. In these three chapters, we have seen how Sukadeva Goswami established the supremacy of Bhakti Yoga over the path of Ashtanga Yoga or Virat Rupa meditation or Paramatma meditation. And we have also seen how Bhakti Yoga is superior to karmakandic rituals and demigod worship. And whether one has material desires, one does not have material desires, or one has a desire for liberation, one should practice bhakti yoga unto Krishna only. And that is the ultimate purpose of human life. And we also have seen Savanakadi Rishi's enthusiasm to hear Krishna Katha and their conviction in this process of Shravanam. So tomorrow we will discuss from the fourth chapter of second canto. We'll take 4, 5, 6 and 7. 4 chapters we'll complete in the second session. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.